think God, in our ministry time, as well as all that will come out of the Bible passage, really does want to give some people just another dose of him before you dash back to work. I don't know anything about that, and some of you may be thinking, oh my goodness, he's in his Pentecostal mood. But I just sense that quite strongly, and I don't normally say anything like that because it could be construed as pressure, but I just sense God wants to really give some of us a good dose of him before we go back. But of course, James is leading ministry, so if he doesn't say anything, you'll know he thinks I've got it wrong, which is more than possible. But wonderfully, Sophie's going to come and speak to us.
Thank you, Jeremy. And we're continuing in Romans, glorious chapter 8 of Romans. We're on page 1071, and I'm going to be reading chapter 8 from verse 5 to 11. So page 1071. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the sinful nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind controlled by the sinful nature is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. It's often said, isn't it, that the world is divided into two different kinds of people. So those who love Marmite and those who absolutely hate it. Those who support Arsenal and those who don't. And when we say this kind of phrase, we generally mean that these two different kinds of people will never overlap. So those who hate Marmite will never, ever love it. And those who support Arsenal will never support anyone else, and so on. And Paul is saying that the world is divided into two different kinds of people, spiritually speaking. And the first group of people are what Paul is talking about when he talks about those who live according to the sinful nature. Well, what does he mean? Well, he's talking about people whose hearts are focused on their own desires and ambitions rather than on God's. So people who basically aren't interested in God's agenda. And the second group of people that Paul is talking about are those who live, as he says, according to the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Well, these people are choosing to live in a way that pleases God. So Paul is basically dividing the world into those who love Jesus and those who reject him. And according to our passage, these two groups of people can never, humanly speaking, overlap. Someone who rejects God cannot, by themselves, change into someone who loves him. And what Paul wants to emphasize really seriously here is that the person who's not accepted Jesus Christ is in trouble. They cannot be in relationship with God. They cannot, in their own strength, be good enough for God. Then that begs the question, so if no one can be good enough for God, if no one naturally loves God, then how does anyone become a lover of God? How does anyone become a Christian? Well, a person becomes a Christian, Paul says, when God makes them one. Becoming a Christian is something that happens to you. It isn't something that we try hard to become. It isn't, to be a Christian is not about trying to improve ourselves or trying to be the best person that we can be. If you have put your trust in Jesus, if you've offered your whole life to him, and if you've asked your forgiveness for your past rejection, his forgiveness for your past rejection of him, then you can be confident that God has taken hold of you and changed you at the deepest level of your being, in your spirit. And that's why Paul says in verse 10, "But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin," he's saying, even though you'll still struggle with sin, "the Spirit gives life because of righteousness." And he's saying that when someone becomes a Christian, it's because the Holy Spirit gets hold of them and makes that person alive to God in a way that they couldn't have been before. We don't make it happen. It happens to us. And instead of life without God, we are given life with him now, today, but also beyond today, beyond the next career move, beyond retirement even, beyond death. Look with me at verse 11. Paul says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." We believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. A dead man was raised to life again. And Paul is saying that that same God, that same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus, lives in all of those who turn to him. And just as the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, so he will also raise all those who put their trust in him. Which means, practically speaking, that the struggles we experience today, the disappointments, the heartbreak, the tragedy, will be put right and healed when we one day stand face to face and meet Jesus. If Jesus is your king, then you can be confident that the power of death has been broken in your life and the Spirit of resurrection lives in you. You have been made sensitive to God's words. You have been called into an intimate relationship with God. Maybe you don't feel that. Maybe you're like, "Spirit living in me, really?" Well, let me encourage you to spend some time in these words of Paul. Maybe memorize them. Ask the Spirit of God to help you trust what God says about you in his scriptures. Or maybe you know that you haven't come to Christ. You're sitting on the sidelines, looking in. Let me ask you, what are you waiting for? This is the best offer that anyone will ever make you. And if you think that you could never change, you know, you could never be what God wants you to be, well, you're right. You and I, we cannot change ourselves. But God is in the business of changing lives, and he will change you if you ask him to. Amen.